here. Genesis, the 17th chapter and verse 10. 17 and verse 10. Sharon, you don't have your Amplified, do you? All right. Could you read from 5 on in the one that you have there? Do either one of you have Amplified? Oh, no? Okay. Yeah, from 5 on, let's get where we are here.
Okay.
So,
from 5 to 10.
Yeah, 5 through 10.
Okay. No longer will you be called Abram. Your name will be Abraham, for I have made you a father of many nations. I will make you very fruitful. I will make nations of you, and kings will come from you. And I will establish my covenant as an everlasting covenant between me and you and your descendants after you for the generations to come, to be your God and the God of your descendants after you. The whole land of Canaan, where you are now an alien, I will give as an everlasting possession to you and your descendants after you, and I will be their God. And then God said to Abraham, as for you, you must keep my covenants, you and your descendants after you, for all the generations to come. And this is my covenant with you and your descendants after you, the covenant you are to keep. Every male among you shall be circumcised.
All right. Now I want to, what is the new covenant? The sign of the new covenant?
Baptism.
Baptism. What's the sign of, what's the sign of the old covenant?
Circumcision.
Now I want you to understand something. Now this is kind of deep. But was the promised son born to Abraham before he was circumcised? No. Not until after he signed that covenant. God signed the covenant, didn't he? He promised it. It was going to happen. Like future perfect. But Abraham, until he got serious with God, that covenant, and he said, this is going to happen. Now you're going to be circumcised. Okay? And what it, if you're not circumcised, it's pointed. That's what it says. Now you're going to be dubbed off. You're going to be chopped off. And we know now that circumcision in men, a wife is less likely to get cervical cancer if her husband is circumcised than if he's not circumcised. We know that there are health benefits to it. Now, we're circumcised today not because of the law, but because of good hygiene and medical reasons, okay? That's why we do it today. Keeping the Sabbath is not real important today. If you kept it as a rite, a circumcision, or a feast, so to speak, it would be a little bit blasphemous because Jesus is our Sabbath, isn't he? We don't keep the Feast of Booths. We don't keep the Hasidors. We don't do this. This all pointed to him. Now we look back to those things that pointed to him, and we can understand it a little better. But those that keep these things are denying our Savior.
Amen.
Are they not? We don't practice circumcision as a rite. I was talking to a guy on the radio here a couple of years ago, and he's Jewish. But he doesn't practice Jewish stuff. But he knows all the stuff. The Jews, they go through this. They may not know Hebrew, so to speak, but they know the festivals and what they say in Hebrew. Okay? They did that for so many years, and they didn't really know what they're saying, but they learned that. It had even turned into Yiddish when they went into Germany. So we now today's Hebrew is Yiddish, so to speak. It's got German accents in it, so to speak. But he told me, he said, well, he said, you're a good rabbi. He said, the only thing you lack is circumcision. You know, like this. I said, I already am circumcised. Oh, you haven't gone through the rite yet. We'd have to go through the rite. The covenant, the berith. My berith is in my heart. My heart is circumcised.
Amen.
That's it. That's where it is. The circumcision is of the heart today, not in the flesh. The flesh is the bondwoman. The spirit is the free woman. All right? The flesh is the bondwoman. The bondwoman was a mother of the flesh. Even though this is a sad situation, I've repeated this a thousand times. Hagar was a victim of circumstances. That girl was the daughter of Pharaoh. This is Pharaoh's daughter. Pharaoh gave her to Abraham for a political marriage so that her descendants and his descendants would be related so they wouldn't fight each other. Okay? He made a slave out of her. He didn't take her for his wife. He gave her to his wife after he'd already sold her to Pharaoh. This is a used car salesman. Okay. This is Abraham. And he did it again, didn't he? To Abimelech. It worked once. Why not do it again? Okay, because we know that God's going to intercede. Is he going to protect her? Isn't he? He's going to protect her. And did Isaac do the same thing? Yeah. Now, Abimelech means what? What does Abimelech mean?
Son of the king.
Son of the king. Now, what is this name Abimelech? What actually is it? It is a title.
Oh.
It's a title among those people. It means the king. Son of the king means the king. He is the king now. The son of the king is the prince. He's the king. So when Abraham was there, then Isaac goes back down there. It's not probably the same Abimelech. But he goes down there and he sells Rebekah to Abimelech. And says that she is his sister. So here's another political marriage. This is black, dark paths that these people are going down. Okay? Some real bad things. These people are being extremely dishonest. Real dishonest. It's like in the old Jewish stores, they go in there and a guy pile on a jacket and it's way too big. He pulls it up in the back like that. Well, look how it fits you. Real good. Go out to the store. I don't know whether you ever saw Where No Angels with Humphrey Bogart and the guys where they played there that they were had escaped from Devil's Island, and he went over there and he put this jacket on the guy and it was real, real tight. He said, hold on, let's go get one that fits. He went in there, just turned around, went back in there, and he brought back the same jacket. He says, here's one just like it. Put it on there like that. Suck it in now, suck it in. Oh yeah, this one fits you so much better, and got him. And he was bald headed. He sold him a comb and brush set. You know, this is the type of Abraham and Isaac it was. These are not honest people. They're not honest people. When Abraham sold Sarah to Abimelech, God appeared to him in a hypnotic trance, a dream. Pharaoh found out. Then here goes Isaac back down there, and he sells Rebekah, and by the way, she has kids already, and he sells her for a virgin. Now they haven't come together yet, and he sees him out in the courtyard making love to Rebekah. He sees this. He said, that's not your sister. So he calls him back up there and says, get out of here, go, take your land, take your stuff, stay over there and stay away from me. I don't want God plaguing me. I know you're a prophet of God, but boy, you're an ungodly buzzard. Now get out of here. The same thing with Abraham. Hagar was stuck in a situation. She had no control over her body, her person, and she was a princess. So she's forced to marry Abraham later on by his wife and not have children that are her children with Pharaoh as the grandson, but as Sarah's slave. This is a pitiful situation. But here we have in the Bible. This tells me one thing, that we're saved by grace.
Amen.
Boy, we're saved by grace. We're saved by grace. We are sinners saved by grace.
Amen.
We don't have to do that. Charlatans, con artists, scam artists, this is what the world is made up of, so to speak. And Abraham was one, and so was Isaac. And this is their dark side of them. This is the dark side of them.
He's in the book of faith.
What?
He's in the book of faith.
But they're in the book of faith, yes. What saved them, Brother Mike?
The grace of God.
By faith, they're saved. Where does faith come from?
Grace.
It's a gift of
It's the gift of God. Is there anything in you that saves you?
Yep.
No. Not a thing. Is there anything in you that keeps
volition.
You saved?
Just that
is there any? No. Volition. God gives us a choice. We have this little shadow of a choice in us. This volition. Because we are made in His sovereign image. But when we repent, the grace that we have, for in grace, Ephesians 2:8, for in grace ye are having been saved through faith, and that not out of you. That's beautiful. The faith didn't come out of you. The conviction didn't come. It came upon you, and how you respond to that conviction, that's the only thing you do. That's all. You have nothing else. The responding, that's all you have, is the response. Everything else, God takes over. So let's go here in 17 verse 10. This is where we are. Now God is telling him that he needs to be circumcised. And it's Zoth, Barithi, Asher, Tis Maru, Bene, Yuvinikem, Yuvan, Zaraka, Aharika, Hemol, Lachem, Kol, Zakar. And of course, Zoth is this. This my Barithi. Barithi. This is my cutting. What does a covenant mean? It means cutting. When they originally made it, they cut animals. They killed animals. They cut them in half. And they put them out there. They walked between, gave each other their shoe. And they cooked the animals and sat them down until they ate them all. But it was a cutting, wasn't it? And then now, this covenant is a cutting. And even the new covenant, in the New Testament, we're circumcised in heart, a cutting. We are saved by grace, and what is the Jesus said that he took the cup and he said, this cup represents the blood of this, which is a new covenant. This is my body, which is the sign of the new covenant. Jesus was lacerated and cut, and he was nailed to a cross, and he bled for us, for that new covenant. This my covenant, which Zoth, Barithi, Asher, this my covenant, the covenant of me, which, now what case, that's covenant, what case is that in, brother? This genitive. Is my covenant.
Genitive
case. Genitive is a case of possession. So you can write down genitive if you want down there. This is my covenant, which, look at this, you shall keep on keeping. You shall keep on watching, literally. You shall keep on keeping, and you shall keep on watching. And it's benay, that's between me. Between me, and that word bene there, bene, that word means an interval or a space. There's a space between the heavens and the earth. Bene. Bene. Between me and you, Venikam. And between you. And here we have, again, a separation. What separates us from God? Sin. What else? Flesh. Why can't you see God in all His glory today? Because of the flesh that stands in the way. It does. It stands. The flesh stands in the way. Every time you get angry without a cause, so you can get angry with a cause. Did you know that? Be angry and sin not, you know that? A lot of things in the world can make you very angry. Lies, cheating, all of this thing, you know, this makes you, does it make you mad when you see somebody being abused, cheated, coerced, or whatever? This is sin. And it should make you angry. It should make you angry. When you see false religion, you see people damned, will that make you angry? It makes you angry. And it makes you want to lead those people out of that system. And yet, they're so scammed and glued into it sometimes, or with family traditions or whatever, they won't leave. You try to bring them to the knowledge, the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ, and they stay there. And you see people sometimes using religion for gain. What is that called in the Bible? The religion of what? Balaam. The Balaamites. This is gain. There's nothing wrong with getting paid for preaching. There's nothing wrong with that. The Bible says that should be. But when somebody's doing that, I mean, this website that I put out all over the world, I put it out there so people could hear the Word of God freely. I went down and spent about $2,000 or $3,000 to put some ebooks that I have in PDF form so I could put it out there where they could download it without me sending it to them. I started sending things to Australia and to Japan and things like that. It cost me a fortune. And a lot of these people, I just wanted to give it to them. In the Philippines over there, they got two seminaries studying our material, and they get it. I gave them every book I got for free. I just sent the e-books on. I said, download them. And they got them for free. Now, there's nothing wrong with me charging people to get those if they do it, because I spent money to do this. I just spent $205 to do the Gospel of Mark in e-book. I put it out there for $15. They can push on there and make a donation of $15, and I will send them the link to download that whole two volume. But I'm going to send it for free to the Philippines. Amen. Because they're studying it over there in their classes. That's why I do that. There's nothing wrong if I made money on it, but for me, that's the only reason to have it out there. That's wrong. Okay? That's why I've done all what I've done. And that's my legacy to the world. That's what I'm leaving behind for those people after me. I have copied at my teachers. I put so much of that out there. And they can get it for free. They can download about 5,000 sermons for free. I don't want them to ever be charged for it. I want that to be free. I want them to be able to do this. Between me and between you, and between your seed, look at that. Yuvan, between Zaraka, that's from Zera, and the Greek equivalent to that is spermatos, sperma. After you, Aharika, those following you, to be, now this is Nifel, infinitive absolute right there, this Himmaol. Look at that doggish in the middle of that mem there, brother. You see that? What's that do? That doubles it, doesn't it?
Right.
Sometimes the dog east in the center will make it a strong, but this one, it doubles it. Himma ma'ol. To be circumcised. Nephel, infinite, infinitive, absolute. To be circumcised. To be actually cut around. To you, all males. All males. All males. Circumcision is a sign of the covenant in the flesh. Okay? Being born again is a sign of the covenant in the spirit. Let's look at this now. You ni maltem. Et basar. A rilath kem. Wihaya. Lioth. Barith. Bene. Uyuvanikam. And let's look at this one. Sharon, conjugate that one for me. Which is that uni malchem? Maltem. Do you see that one? That's the first word on the right hand side up above.
Oh, on the top.
The first,
okay,
very
okay.
First one. Plural. Nifel.
Nifel. Not consecutive.
Perfect. All right. Second masculine, second person masculine plural in ethal, while consecutive perfect. That's a long line of stuff. See, in Hebrew, you have the person, you have the gender, and everything in the verb. And it's powerful. Now let's talk about while consecutive perfect, Brother Roger. While consecutive perfect. Tell me about that.
So it's something that has happened.
It's something that shall have happened. This is what we call future perfect. Future perfect. And you shall have circumcised. As to, so to speak, eth here, sign of the direct object, circumcised flesh. Basar. Now this word here, tome in the New Testament, is the word to cut. And here we have the word flesh, and in the New Testament, that is sarx, isn't it? All right, sarx. Okay, the flesh of your foreskin. The foreskin means the pointed member. That's what it means. You shall cut that pointed off. You shall cut that point off. You shall dull it. Your foreskin. And now let's look at this, wehaya. We on the front of that is what, Brother Roger?
The word and.
And, all right. Now, how about the rest of this, Pamela? Wehaya. Conjugate that thing for me, would you? Third person masculine, singular. Okay, so this is. And, literally, he shall become. Now, this is a male member, isn't it? Doesn't say anything about circumcising women, does, even though Islam does that. It says, and he shall become, he shall have become. And then we have Leoth. Leoth. Let's look at that, Brother Roger. Leoth. What's this le in the front of that? Lameth in the front.
Preposition.
That's a preposition. And it means for here. And this is like what we call to or for, which is in the dative case. Now there's nominative, genitive, oblative, locative, instrumental, dative, accusative, and vocative in Greek. And it's there in Hebrew also. In the Hebrew grammars. For a, what's this word oath mean? Brother Roger, you remember what that one is?
A sign.
It's a sign, all right. But what does it mean more than that? Let's go back to the book of Genesis, the very first part of the book of Genesis. When Cain sinned and murdered his brother, and he was a slasher. He was the first Boston slasher. He slashed and slashed and slashed him and cut him all up, spilled his blood all over, and then buried him and hid him. Okay? And then Jehovah approached him before in his pre-incarnate before form. Jehovah went to Cain and says, why don't you divide correctly? Why don't you tithe correctly? And why don't you what? Do the right thing. Do the prescribed. You don't want to do what I've told you to do to come to me. You're going to go around. This is the inventor of the first inventor of false religion. By the way, Cain means gotten, doesn't it? He said, I have gotten a man et Jehovah. This is our Jehovah. This is going to be our Savior. But this Savior is going to be this Messiah is going to be the murdering Messiah. So he kills his brother. And God said, I'm going to curse you because you've done this. Because you spilled your brother in the ground. Now, what kind of occupation did Cain have? What was he?
Farmer.
He was a farmer. So he's going to curse the ground twice. Now, already there was thorns and thistles and cockaburrs. There are sand burrs, there are goat heads, there are stinging nettles and everything else you can think of, and thorns and thistles out there in the field. But now he's going to double curse it for Cain because of what he's done. Okay? Cain said, I can't bear it, I can't bear it, I can't bear it, I can't bear it. He said, everybody that's going to see me is going to want to kill me now. Because what? You shed man's blood, and by man, you know, your blood shall be shed. When you shed a man's blood, your blood's going to be shed. At that time, if you shed an animal's blood, your blood would be shed. If you killed an animal, that was a death sentence. Animals were not for food yet, were they? So their lives, their souls were protected by God with a death sentence. That's an oath of God. Oath. That's protection. Oath. So God said, I'm going to put a sign upon you. This sign is an oath. It's a protection. Cain, I'm going to protect you from anybody killing you. And he put a sign upon him. Now, if you talk to the Mormons, that sign was he turned him black. Okay, that's not what happened. He didn't turn him black. Whatever that sign was on him, it was a sign of protection, not a curse, but a sign of protection. It was not a curse. The ground was cursed. Cain was not cursed. He was protected. He had an oath put upon him to protect him. Now, today we know that all of those people before the flood back there, I got this church history thing up there, but before the flood back there, in the days of Noah, okay, before the flood, we know that people were all over the place, and they were sinning, weren't they, just constantly sinning, and one of the great instigators of all the sin in mankind was Cain. He went off in the land of Nod and took his wife, which was everybody. You ever hear anybody where Cain get his wife? He took one of his sisters, cousins, nieces, something. Okay? He took some woman with him, and it was his wife, into the land of Nod, which means wandering. He became a wanderer in the land of wandering. And you know what he did over there? Historically, you go back and study the book of Jasher, and you go back and study the book of Enoch and everything. What did he do? How do you overcome the ground being double cursed?
Slaves.
You make slaves. He became the first slave owners. He owned other souls. Okay? But God placed an oath upon him to protect him. Now this circumcision is an oath of protection. It's an oath of protection. And my covenant. B-N-A. Between, that means what? What does between mean? An interval or a space between me, you, Vanika, between me and between you. Now, the word circumcision is akrobistia in Greek. It's also called peritome, that means to cut around. Uncircumcision is akrobistia. Uncircumcision in Greek is akrobistia. And then the word sign is samaron, but it's also oath, protection. We are sealed, in the New Testament it says, by the Spirit of God in us, aren't we? We're sealed. Ephesians, first chapter, says that we're branded, earmarked, and sealed. You know, when your cowboy goes out, he catches the calves, and he goes out there and brands the calves. Not only will he brand the calves, but he'll say who his mother is. And the mother might have a, right in the lower part of her ear, she might have a slit cut in that lower part of her ear. That means she's from a certain family of cattle. Or he might have a slit at the top of the other ear. That tells him that he's from this family of cattle. Now, the Bible says that when we're born again, that the Spirit of God comes and seals and earmarks us. We're a child of God, and we're saved forevermore, and we are sealed for the resurrection. The resurrection of the just. Now, let's go over in 17 and verse 12. Yevain, Shemonath, Yamim, Yemul, Lachem, Kol Zakar, Ledorothikem, Yalid, Bayith, Yumiknath, Kesef, Mikol, Ben, Nikar, Asher, Lo, Mizaraka, Hugh. Right here we have Yuvain. Yuvain. You on the front of that means what, Sharon?
And.
Vain means what, Brother Roger? Vain?
Son.
According to a pattern. Literally according to a pattern. Are we, when we're created in the image of God, when we're born again, are we created according to a pattern? What do you think convicts you of sin, righteousness, and judgment to come? You get convicted today. Are you convicted today if you do anything wrong? That's the Spirit of God convicting you that you're going wrong, going the wrong way. The Spirit of God is doing that because we're made according to a pattern. What pattern are we made according to? Jesus. God said, let us make man in our spirit casting, our shadow casting likeness, in our blood flowing likeness, in our sovereign likeness. Okay? We are made according to our blood flowing likeness of God, which is God's Son. We're made in His likeness. And then Shemanoth. 8. We're going to circumcise the child, the sons, in 8 days. Now, back then, they didn't know anything about what we know in medical science today, do we? Why didn't God... You know, 7 is a magic number in the Bible, isn't it? Why didn't they circumcise the man on 7 days? God said 8 days, didn't he? Why 8 days? Sharon, do you know?
Well, we know now, but that is when the child's blood clotting is...
At the perfect point.
Yeah, perfect point.
Who do you think made it that way? God did. He made it that way. That's when the child's blood will clot. The perfect day for that. Not 7, not 6, not 9, 10, 12. On the 8th day.
Amen.
Paul said, I was circumcised on the 8th day, the tribe of Benjamin, according to the law of Moses. On the 8th day. Jesus was circumcised on the 8th day. 8 days. And now let's look at this word here. Umiel. You know anything about that word, Brother Roger? Conjugate that little fellow for me.
Okay. Third person, masculine, singular, nephel, imperfect.
All right. Third person, masculine, singular. Who is third person, masculine, singular, Brother Jeff? Who is that?
That would be they.
Singular.
Oh, he.
He. Thank you.
Sorry.
Masculine singular is he. Okay. Third person masculine singular is he. Now, Nephel and imperfect. He shall, this is acted upon. Okay, this is acted upon. This is passive voice, so to speak. And he shall keep on being circumcised. You circumcise a person and they stay circumcised. Okay. All right. Every one of your sons shall keep on being circumcised. Everyone you have is going to be circumcised. They're going to stay that way. And you'll remind them every day why they're circumcised. They do. You know, when you go into the Jewish society and they accepted you into a different synagogue, you know what they did? Pulled your pants down. They wanted to see the evidence. Now, that today is kind of weird, isn't it? Real weird, but not back then. They wanted to see the evidence of the sign. Lehem, for you, every, zakar means male, masculine male. Didn't say females, did it? Ledorathekem. Ledorathekem. Brother Roger, tell me a little bit about that. What's that lameth on the front of that?
A preposition.
That's a preposition. All right, and then here we have the word generations. And what else do we have? It's plural, isn't it?
It is. There's a mem on the end.
Yeah, it's plural, and what else? Generation, your generations, it's genitive plural. So here we have a genitive plural. Your generations, the generations belonging to you. These were his generations. Brother Gray Ontiveros is talking to me today, and he said, man, I had my DNA done. He said, I'm about 5% Jewish. You know what I've taught people? He's Spanish, but he's more American Indian than he is anything. He's a little bit Spanish. I'm sure he's a little bit Arabic, too, because Spain, you know, we talked this morning, the history of Islam. We talked about when they went into Spain and took over Spain, and they basically ruled and occupied Europe for 300 years. All right? Every one of us are sons of Abraham. Almost everyone in this class, you can trace your lineage back to Abraham because he was the father of the dark races, the Hamites, the Japhethites, and the Shemites. I all talk about the Shemites being sons of Abraham, but if you go back and did your DNA, I'm sure it will go right back to the Fertile Crescent and right back to Levantine, to Palestine. Yalid. And that's progeny. That's birth ones. Ones that are birth. Your child. And this would be technos in Greek, wouldn't it, Brother Roger?
Correct.
All right. And then bayith. Bayith. The first word there, the first letter in that word tells you what, Sharon? What does a bayith mean?
In.
That means house.
Oh.
House. Yeah, in is a preposition.
Yeah.
But here it means house. The house of you. The house belonging, your house, your property. You'll do this in your house, and this is your house, and so that's in the genitive case also. And then, you miknot. Everything that you have bought, your purchase, that which you have purchased with your money, money of silver. That word kaseth means silver.
Or gold.
Yeah, money.
Money.
Silver.
Yeah.
Michal. Mick. Mam on the front of that is what? It comes from man. And that is what?
Preposition.
A preposition means from. From. And then call means all. From every. Ben. Every son. According to a pattern. Nikar. Stranger. This is stranger. Pilgrim. Which. Not. From your seed. Even if you block all your slaves that you have, even those people that have come in your land, if they're going to live with you, circumcise them. Let them live under the covenant. Give them an offer to live under the covenant of God. Isn't this beautiful stuff? We're studying science and the Bible, and we're studying evolution versus creation. Can you see so many times when science and medicine and the Bible work together? It's there. Plain as day. We see all this. And he says, do this. Do this. What is circumcision? That's the outward sign of the old covenant. What is the new covenant? Circumcision of heart. What's the sign of the new covenant? Baptism. How important is baptism? Scriptural baptism, extremely important. You don't get into really new covenant relationship until you are baptized. And we're not talking about salvation. This is covenant relationship. It's different from salvation. Now with the word in 17 and verse 13, let's look at this. Himol. Yimol. Yalid. Bathaka. Yumiknoth. Kaspika. Wihayeta, Barithi, Biv Vasarkim, Livrith Olam. All right. Hamul. Hamul Yamul. And it says, by circumcision. Circumcision, by circumcision. Nifel, infinitive absolute. Shall be circumcised. It says this twice. By circumcision. He shall to be circumcised, a child, a yalid. What does yalid mean, Brother Roger?
It can be used for a male.
What's it literally mean?
A live birth.
Okay, but we're talking about the live birth. We're talking about are the males, not the females, not the females here. The male, a child of your house. What case is that in?
Genitive
case. The child of the house belonging to you. You miknoth, and everything that you purchased with your money, with your money, that's what it means, kas fika, with your money, we hayata, and let's look at this one, third person feminine singular, wow, consecutive perfect, and she shall become, what's this talking about, she shall become, she shall have become,
the covenant,
the covenant. The covenant is the feminine. Mm-hmm. All right. She shall have become my covenant, the covenant of me, and that's in what? Genitive case. In your flesh, the covenant of the flesh. The covenant of the flesh. The peritome nethesta. Peritome, peritome theseta. That's what it should say in Greek. Okay? Peritome, that means by circumcision. Peritomethesete, you shall, or to be circumcised, that is, to be circumcised, that means to cut around. See that word peritome, and then peritomethesete, that is the Greek equivalent of this. So we're going from Hebrew into Greek, because the Greek Septuagint is what Jesus studied, wasn't it? Or what he's taught in. So we're seeing this in both ways. The child, the live birth, the offspring, the issue, your progeny, those born of you. And this is my covenant, my cutting in your flesh for a covenant. Le breath, for a covenant. Olam, how long?
Eternity.
For eternity. Eternity means what, Sharon?
Well, you go as far as you can possibly imagine into the future, and then that's where it begins.
That's where it begins. It begins at the unknown. That's how long it's going to last. How long in the future, eternity future, will Israel actually be a part of Israel, of the legend of God? The legend of God's grace. How long will they remain that way?
Forever.
Forever. All right. That was 13. Let's do one more and I'll turn you loose on the world. I don't know how many minutes we've gone. 42 minutes. So we're staying under an hour and whatever, unless you get to going someplace and turn me loose like you did last week, which was 90 minutes. I mean, you can do that if you wish. I'm here. We are El. Zakar. Asher lo. Yemol. Et basar. Arelatho. Winikretha. Hanifesh. Hahu. Miamika. Ma'amiya, Miha, that is. Ma'amiya. Et. Barithi. Hefar. We are El, an uncircumcised one, foreskinned one, pointed one, literally, a male, which not, he's a. He keeps on being circumcised to the flesh, his foreskin, and he shall have been cut off. He shall have been cut off. Look at that. She shall have been cut off. Third person feminine singular nifel while consecutive perfect. She shall have been cut off. The soul. The soul is nephesh. Nephesh. The soul. Ha, nephesh. The soul. That one. From his fellow friends. From his neighbors. From his countrymen. My covenant he has broken. How do you break a covenant without doing anything? By not doing something. I remember when Brother Ray, when I was leading him to the Lord, that out in the barrio in the middle of the night, almost midnight, I asked him if he'd been saved. He said he didn't know. And I said, you heard the preaching, you heard me preach the gospel. Why haven't you accepted the Lord? I said, well, you need to, I said, do you want to be saved? And he said, yes. And I said, well, you need to be, you need to ask the Lord to forgive you for rejecting his son. Because he had been rejecting the Son of God. And he needed to be, ask God to forgive him for rejecting the Son of God, his Savior. Do you have any questions? Brother Russell, you got a question?
Not on this.
Well, tell me. What is the question?
My question, I just wanted a translation. It's in John 8, something when they, I think the Lord is talking about Judas Iscariot, and he says, one of you is a devil. And I'm just wondering what the devil is. Is that the same devil that tempts him in the wilderness? Or, because I know there's different meanings at different times.
Okay, that really good. You go back to the book of Genesis in the third chapter. Now, the Nahash there was not the devil, was he? But who was he speaking to when he's speaking to the devil? The snake was embodying, the spirit of Satan was in the snake, and the snake became evil because he loaned his body to Satan. Now, it says that Judas went out because the spirit of Satan was in him. Satan entered him to do what he did. Satan, was he willing? Yeah, he was willing. He was willing to let Satan use him. So he was willing to let Satan use him. And when God was talking to the snake, he talked to him, I shall put enmity between your seed. The snake seed? Not the snake seed. Satan's seed, the Antichrist. And her seed, Jesus Christ. And you, he shall bruise you to the head, but you shall bruise him to the heel. You'll deal a crippling blow to him, but he shall destroy you. He shall put you away. Okay? So there we have it. He refers to him what he would become. A tool of Satan. There is a devil among you. There is one of you that has the devil in him. There was one of you that is destroyer. Did Judas Iscariot sell his master out?
Yes.
Did he destroy him by selling him out? Yes, he did. Did he cause the death of Jesus by selling him out? Yes, he did. So, does that answer your question?
It does.
Okay. Anything else, Brother Mike?
Okay, well, I used to always be bothered by things like this, but I just thought of one. You know, I don't remember where a couple times I've read in the Bible, do this or don't do that, lest your name be erased from the book of life. Is everybody's name in the book of life and it gets erased when God realizes? No, I don't understand.
Okay, there are different books of life. One of them is the book of the living things you do. And the other one is the book of life in the Lamb's book of life. We have different books. There are many books. One of them records the deeds that you do. How can you have things that you have done erased from the book of the deeds?
Confess.
You confess your sins, but how do you get them? How do you get your good deeds erased? Yeah. How does that happen? By doing the wrong thing. And many times you can go along doing real good, but then you go along and do something wrong, and those good deeds are erased. You're not going to be rewarded for them because you've denied your Lord. In life, you can never have your name erased out of the Lamb's book of life, Brother Mike, but you can have your good deeds erased. You can lose your rewards.
You can ruin your testimony.
Yeah, you can ruin your testimony, and you can lose your rewards. Do you understand what it's talking about there? Losing the rewards that you would have got.
I assumed you meant Lamb's book
of life. No, it's not what it's talking about there. Talking about your rewards. Anything else? You got something, Brother Jeff? Did you like this Hebrew a little bit tonight?
I didn't get Greek first.
But do you see we're correlating the Greek to the Hebrew? Yeah. Do you ever hear me speak Hebrew when I'm teaching Greek?
Yeah.
All the time. Because I'm tying both languages. The Bible is inspired in two languages. two languages, Greek and Hebrew. That is the inspired word of God. Why do we study this? Because we want to touch the real word without contamination. It's not been contaminated with a translation. We're just looking at what it says. Well, that's beautiful, isn't it? Yes.
I did have one question today. When you were talking about how the cases are the same in Greek and mm-hmm. Hebrew,
yes.
Is that because the Greek people wrote the Septuagint and took the cases, the active cases, into the Septuagint? Or did Hebrew actually start off with its own sense of, in its own context with the same mechanic, the same grammar?
Okay, let me ask you a question. What, the Sanskrit language, how old is that?
I couldn't tell you.
It's real old, isn't it? Sanskrit is one of the earliest languages. How many cases are there in Sanskrit?
Eight
cases in Sanskrit. Do you see? And then we have Hebrew, and then we have Greek. We have eight cases in classical Greek. Some people say there's not eight cases in Koine Greek, but there is. Do you understand? And then when we can correspond and we understand this language by looking at another language, how we can correspond them between languages?
So do you believe then that when Moses learned to read and write underneath Pharaoh, that he was still using cases, the same eight cases?
He was doing that in Egyptian, which now we know about. Why did we lose the Egyptian language? What caused the loss of the Egyptian language? We learned it this morning.
Muslims
killed all of those people and would not allow them to speak Egyptian. The Muslim world murdered them, and not only that, but what else did they do? They burned up the Alexandrian library. They did a lot, and this is where we lost so much information. And they had to find a Rosetta Stone to find out what those Egyptian monuments said, because they lost the language. They lost it because of murder and genocide and ethnic cleansing. That's what happened. So I go from language to language so we can understand and we can correspond. What did it say in Greek? What did it say in Hebrew? And when we get to the book of Genesis in the first chapter, we really see the difference of what they thought back then. What were they thinking when they did this with a Septuagint? They had a mindset, didn't they? They interpreted, they did not translate it. And now we know, and we look back at the Hebrew and say, this is not correct here. The idea here is that in the beginning, God had created the heavens and the earth, and that the earth, she had become formless and void. But it doesn't say that in the Septuagint because they didn't believe that back then. Okay? And did Jesus ever correct the Septuagint? Yes. Did he ever correct their ideas of the Bible, of their interpretation of what we call the what? The Talmud? Yeah. Yeah, this is what we call the traditions. He corrected their traditions many, many times. Their interpretations of the Bible. All right, anything else?
Thank you.
You're welcome. Anything else? Yes, Sharon.
What was the Coptic language, a descendant of the original Egyptian language?
I'm not really sure about that, but I think it is probably the Coptic. I think it comes from Greek and probably mixed up with Egyptian and Greek language.
Oh.
The Coptic. So, and those churches were basically, they were Byzantine at one time, and then they went, and the Byzantine churches of Egypt were the Coptic. That's where we have the Coptic. The Coptic churches down there where Jesus is born, which you've been there in Egypt. All that. Okay? I don't know everything. Anything else?
Okay, how many cases did Navajo have? Never mind.
What? Why would God do that?
Yeah, why? Well, not why would he do that, but just why did he do that, I guess, choose to do?
Circumcision has to do with the male member. The male member is the seed which brought on the human race, and the male member is also that which produces blood in the female. And the fetus of the child comes from the male. So here we have the progeny. We have the progeny tool of all human race right there. And so God deals with that. I mean, today, this is really some weird things of thinking, you know. How did Abraham swear? How did his servant swear to Abraham. How did he do that? Sharon, you remember?
Yeah, I remember.
You remember. Brother Roger?
Well, going back, it was a way to make them stand out from every other population on earth. Because especially the Greeks accused them of being ugly and all that other stuff because of the circumcision.
Yes.
And they tried reversal surgeries even.
Yeah.
And anyhow, to answer your question, he placed his hand up on his thigh and scrotum.
Yes, his testicles. He swore by his tool that would bring forth all his children. That's it. Now today, that's really weird. But this is what they did back then. It's really weird if you drop your pants when you come to a new synagogue to make sure that you're... I mean, this is not what we're doing, but you have to realize that the women were there and the men were over here too. They weren't together. They did not worship together. Sharon.
Well, I'm just thinking it's not that different because, like, I mean, the Italians, they have a thing, I swear on my children, you know.
Yeah.
I'll swear on my grandchildren.
Yeah.
You know, so in a way it's the same idea, but more demonstrative.
Yes. Mm-hmm. That's the way it is. This is a different culture, a different time. A different culture and a different time. All right. Anything else? All right. Brother Jeff, would you dismiss us in prayer, please, brother?
We thank you for your faithfulness, Lord. We ask that we would embrace that characteristic in our life, to be found faithful to you, to your word, to your truths. The more we learn, Lord, I pray that we become more able to share your word with others, that at the end of our lives, we would be found faithful. So I thank you for Brother Jim and the faithfulness he's demonstrated to you and to your word. And I pray you continue to bless his teaching and this class, and you watch over us until we meet again. Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank all of you for being faithful for so many years in these classes.